This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John, some people agree with us, but there is some pushback. Some people want to see the Tush Push Band, and it's not just the Green Bay Packers. We'll get those ticket texts. You want to call in, 248-539-9797. We've got two Grand Slam coming up at 725. If you missed anything on the show, we opened talking Pistons, seven in a row. We mentioned the Wings trade, something bigger coming. Tigers rotation, big Detroit sports storyline. Is Job going to be a starter, given how Mize and Maeda have looked early? If you missed any of it, use the Odyssey app. Go back and listen. 97 won the ticket. Use the app for the chance to win the ultimate trip to Vegas, where you could win $20,000. You and three friends stay at Circa Resort and Casino. That's Vegas' premier sports viewing destination. You visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. John, people are arguing the entertainment value, or lack thereof, of this
play. We're going
play.
Full gladiator. Are you not entertained? Like, really?
That's what people are saying. It's a boring play.
All right.
Says this is an entertainment product. Sports are meant to be entertaining.
Well, it's very entertaining to me.
Sean the Mailman. It's not a football play. It's boring to watch. Get rid of it.
It's not a football play. It might be the most football play.
I don't like having an automatic first down in short yardage situations. It should be banned for entertainment value alone.
Then stop it. And not by rules. Stop it physically.
I want the Tush Push banned because it's incredibly boring and frankly not football. We don't need it in the game.
Soft. That's a soft take. And I say that cautiously because I think being called soft might be the meanest thing you could ever call someone. Those are soft takes.
Your boy Valeni wants it banned too. Are you calling him a whiner?
I'm calling him, yeah, whiner and soft.
Look, if the shoe fits. Ticket texters on the other side of things. To be fair, the Packers have been able to stop the push multiple times the past couple times they played Philly. Then great, then just do more of that. Remember the Packers head coach and the national anthem. It permeates that franchise. Wah, wah, wah. Shane in the car. Says they didn't take away the three-point line when the Splash Brothers were dominating the game because, well, everybody could use the rule. Uh-huh. They just couldn't capitalize. That's what I keep coming back to. When the Packers, who is it, Mark Murphy?
Yes.
He comes out and says it's a no-skill play and an automatic first down. Then you are the dumbest organization in football for not running it. I mean, there's no other conclusion. If a play requires no skill, you could get any five big uglies and just lean and throw your big, fat, lard bodies behind any old quarterback.
Let's be careful.
I'm saying if you believe that, if you think it's just as easy as roll out the ball and you're guaranteed a first down, then we got 31 teams that are full of ignoramuses because it's not. The reality is it's not as easy as you just throw bodies into the line of scrimmage and you're guaranteed a first down. Nobody else can do it the way Philly does. Nobody converts the way Philadelphia does. They have a unique roster construction, big offensive linemen, a quarterback who can squat a million pounds, and they have perfected the technique of the play. John, if everybody was doing it and everybody was getting a first down, then I would listen to the Green Bay Packer proposal.
You know what's really hard to do? If you're 6'7", 363 pounds, and I'm not a huge Mekhi Becton fan, it's really hard to get underneath a 6'2 or 6'3 defensive lineman. Yet, he finds a way to do it. And how does he do that? By making sure that part of the other skill is holding your water, not jumping the count. And because they're going to change up the snap count. We saw it against Washington, right? You got to hold your water. And I've seen Lane Johnson jump off sides and go from third and one to third and six. And all of a sudden, hey, you're out of it.
The only reason you're talking about this is because it's the Packers and you hate them for some weird reason. If it was any other team, this wouldn't be a topic.
Insert any general manager or whatever we're calling Mark Murphy. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, that's a soft take. Grow a pair and find a way to stop it.
248-539-9797. Let's get to the phones. KG and Troy, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so I actually am an Eagles fan, and obviously I love the play, but it's not some totally unstoppable play. We have seen teams stop us in the past, and like you guys said, we've even stopped ourselves in the past, be it call it a false start or whatever. But, you know, I guess people are just mad or want a reason to complain. But if they were able to execute it as well as we were, they probably wouldn't complain, be it the Packers or whoever.
I agree with you. And it's just, it may be the most ultimate football play.
Yeah. And there's a lot of variations, you know. It's not always hurts. Like we've seen in the past when we had DeAndre Swift, we could do a quick handoff to him. We could throw a pass, but we keep it the way we always do it, run it through Hurts, and it works. But, you know, that's all I wanted to say. Outside of that, hey, go Pistons, go Wings, go Tigers, and go Birds. Thank you, guys.
That's an odd
you're
mix.
One off.
That's an odd mix.
Yeah, 3 out of 4, we got you.
Thank you,
Stoney.
Ticket Texter says, let's ban the fade route. It's not fair for tall receivers to pick on short corners.
Yeah.
Johnny and Wixom.
Let's ban the dunk. Let's go back to those days.
It's not fair. They can jump higher than me.
Yeah. Raise the rim to 12 feet.
Ban the kneel down. It's not an entertaining play. You guys are having fun on the Ticket Text with this.
I know. We got one that said it's an illegal formation. No, it's not. And that's why I support this staying in the game. As long as you run it from the right formations, what's required to be on the line, the amount of guys, I'm cool with it. That's like, because some people want to compare it to the shift. My argument against the shift always was that really baseball never defined formations on defense. And
yeah, but the shift was something that happened on every single play. We're talking about this happening on 3 or 4 plays a game.
Oh, I know.
And maximum.
That's why the shift had such an impact.
Yes.
But you were really in what was never intended for the good of the game to be in the right formation defensively. And they had moved it exactly to that, where they required the guy to at least be on his side of the field.
Yeah, be better on first down. Be better on second down.
Now, how would you feel if somebody kept running this?
That I would be in favor of changing the rule.
Well, wait. Say
if someone ran it every single play.
Because I thought the Eagles could get a first down on 4 downs by doing it every time.
If they ran 65 plays of 3 yards at a time. Or 2.5 yards at a time.
What did football used to be? 3 yards on a cloud of dust.
I know.
Oh, we just laid it up for them.
Right on a tee.
Boom! Arg!
Man ball.
There are better ways to gain first downs. There are better ways and more productive ways on first down.
Okay,
but you could, and then you could set up, hey, we're going to be in this formation, and you're going to load up for Bear, and then all of a sudden, hey, I pull out from the quarterback position and I dump it off to a tight end.
I will, to play devil's advocate here, because I am not in favor of banning it, and I think teams know better than to ever do it every play. Is it a cheat code? Is it a video game cheat code for the Eagles, do you think, to where they could actually do it every single time?
But only because they built their roster in a way where they can take advantage
because
of it.
Because they do something better than anybody else?
Okay, I'm just asking
aside
questions.
From winning.
Was Calvin Johnson a cheat code?
No.
Well, I kind of feel like he was. You had to
see, that's
him.
The thing that I think that people are overlooking here. My original point on not to ban is, it's Jalen Hurts. He's special at this.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's just like the tall receiver in the corner. His... lower leg strength is why this works.
It's part of why it works.
Nobody else can do it, though.
The other reason is their offensive line. They have been coached in such a way, and they have such discipline. I am amazed by the discipline that they run this play with, because they don't. Yes, occasionally there's a procedure penalty on one of them. But when you're going from 0 to 100 miles an hour, and you are just about to embark on one of the most violent moments of a game, that you can sit there in a stance and hold your water for that split second when Jalen Hurts says, "Give me the damn ball."
This fires you up.
It does, because you know what? There's not a lot of things that they're trying to take away violence from this game. And this is a violent game. That's why Americans love it. We love our violence in our sports.
Tony on the phones. I'm actually going to go to Tony first, because Frank texted in the point. And Tony, I want to reward you for calling in. What's your thought?
Hey there. This is Tony from Clinton Township. I was just basically saying this. We might as well ban the quarterback sneak, because Tom Brady was so successful at it. Every time it was fourth down, and we knew that Tom's going to get the ball and he's going to surge ahead, and it's the first down. Heard nobody said about banning it then because of a formation, and it looks good. Defensive coordinators need to do a job and do their homework and figure out, do I need to put different personnel on the line or whatever it is to stop this play? Do I need to bulk up or something like that? And also, you got a quarterback that's running it that, you know, you talk about a guy with leg strength. What is he squatting, 600 pounds or something like that?
Yeah.
Ridiculous numbers.
It is.
I mean, come on. Look at Jordan Love. Oh, I'm sorry, but I'd be surprised if he could squat 400 pounds, 300. You know what I mean? So maybe you want to get your weight up. And then at the same time, these defensive coordinators need to make sure they go ahead and get that line together and figure out how can we stop it. Because everybody used to try to figure out how to stop Tom Brady for getting the first down. But all of a sudden, you're like, oh, we knew it was the first down. Everybody was watching the game. Okay, it's what it inches. Okay, first down. And we moved on to the next play. So, I mean, it's no difference. Like the guy used to reference, like you used to reference of Steph Curry. You can't stop what somebody has pretty much invented and perfected. And then all you can do is either get in the car or stay on the sideline and watch it happen.
Tony, it's a good phone call. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Let's ban snap counts, too. It's too much of an advantage for the offense. They know when the ball's going to be snapped. How dare they?
We got Heather's news and the two grand slam coming up next. It's 97.1.
Hey, don't let the cold creep in. If you need your furnace service today, do what I did and call the experts at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment, the best prices, and they offer same-day service. So if you woke up and it was cold, they're going to be there to help you out. Plus, they offer a 5-year warranty, so you know you're covered. Save a bundle with their winter bundle, up to $1,500 in savings when you buy a new furnace, AC, and generator. All you have to do is call for details, or you can visit them online at mastercraftheating.com.
All right, Heather, what's going on with the news?
Listen to this story. A Garden City teen is safely home after allegedly being kidnapped and taken to Detroit by a man who befriended the 13-year-old on social media. So after picking the teen up, this guy, who's in his 40s, brought the child, I mean teenager, still a child to me, to this location in Detroit on Monday. The teen was able to make contact with a family member who then notified Detroit police, like, dude, something's up. Like, you need to go check. So authorities rushed to the scene. They made contact with the suspect, who then ran into a back room and shot himself.
Mm.
Yeah, so this guy was taken to the hospital. He's in critical condition. The teen, like I said, home safe and sound, but everything is still unfolding and is still under investigation. The Pistons will be celebrating Big Sean on his 37th birthday with Big Sean Night at Little Caesars Arena. So the March 25th game against the San Antonio Spurs will honor the Detroit rapper. There'll be limited edition Big Sean bobbleheads given away. There'll be autographed copies of his new book, Go Higher. Plus, there'll be access to post-game, like a post-game book talk with him as well. So ticket prices start at $45, and then proceeds from the ticket packages will benefit the Pistons Foundation and the Boys and Girls Club of Southeastern Michigan.
It's a good partnership.
Yeah. Why not? The Wu-Tang Clan is coming to Detroit this summer as part of their farewell tour. So the tour, they say, will celebrate the group's catalog, and fans should also expect to hear songs that have never been performed live. Plus, they say, deep cuts and major hits. The tour kicks off June 6th in Baltimore. They'll be here at Little Caesars Arena on July 8th.
Oh, right around the corner.
Right around the corner. I mean, summer is right around the corner. Man, it started to feel not like summer, but yesterday I was like, whoa.
Just the sunlight? The sunlight that we had on Sunday and yesterday, it just was great to feel the sun on your face.
It was glorious. The snow was melting. I could see more of the driveway. It was like, this is fabulous.
She's setting up her, oh, where did spring go take?
Well,
that's right, yeah.
Where did fall go?
Yes. It was too warm in the fall.
We really didn't have a good fall.
Oh, come on.
But it is what it is. Let's warm up. I'm ready for warmer
and time
weather.
Is changing soon as well. Another 2 weeks, I think, is when the time not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
I'll take that too. So ticket prices, as we all know, for sporting events are getting pretty crazy, especially for really big games, right? And sports fans, they're willing to shell out these absurd, prices, this amount of money, and tickets are selling for really crazy prices on the secondary market. And I've got some breakdowns for you so you can hear the highest average ticket prices fans have paid for a single game in every major sport. So in the NFL, we'll do just the Super Bowl. There's two different categories. So Super Bowl 58, highest average at least. The average price was $12,128. Most expensive NFL game in history. For a non-Super Bowl game, Detroit fans paid an average of $991 for the NFL divisional game at home against the Commanders.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know. In college football, the highest average price was $2,637 for the 2025 National Championship between Notre Dame and Ohio State. It's crazy to me. Yeah. That's a ton of money. Men's college basketball, $5,307 for Coach K's final home game at Duke in 2022, I think.
Sounds right, yeah.
In college, the women's, Caitlin Clark's last home game at Iowa, $557. In the WNBA, Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese, part four, $334. That was in 2024. NBA Celtics versus Mavericks. That was 2024 NBA Finals Game 5, $2,106.
That's a clincher, right?
Pretty crazy. And then in Major League Baseball, the Cubs versus the Astros, Game 7 of the 2016 World Series game, World Series, $2,919.
Wow.
It's a lot of money people are shelling out for these single games.
Yeah.
Finally, there's a new TikTok challenge, and these are so stupid. And this one requires you to drop heavier and heavier things on your feet or your foot just to see how much it hurts. So
that's
it's called
the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. The drop challenge. You drop items on your foot without shoes on. You kind of withstand the pain, and then you rate the pain on a scale of 1 to 10. And people are going viral because they're doing it with these wild items: a hammer, a space heater, a cordless drill.
I could do it without. Okay, 100-pound dumbbell, 10.
Yes. Also, a hospital visit as well, because you'll have a broken foot. And
But you'd win the drop challenge.
You would, so but you gotta consider it. Has already pulled some of these offline because they're dangerous.
Of course.
And young kids are watching.
Hello.
Stupid.
Heather with the news. All right, 2 Grand Slam.
Jim, have you been on the show where somebody has won $2,000?
Yeah, it's happened once.
Has it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you didn't.
We were trying to remember because we got very close to it while you were on vacation. Somebody
got nine and a half
right. So we didn't think you would. You'd been here for one.
I believe one. I think it happened last year.
Did it? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. You would know.
Well, exciting. Yeah. Well, hopefully we could do it again today. The rules of the game are super simple. 60 seconds, 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly. $2,000 if they get them all right.
Micah, help me out. Let's get a win under the belt of the show here. What's going on? Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. How's your morning doing?
Doing good. Just pulled up to work.
All right.
All right. All right. Well, I hope
if
I
you
can.
Get, if you get $2,000 on this one, are you going to take the day off? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
There we go. There we go. All right. So
right back around.
The rules are simple, right? If you don't know one, pass. And if there's enough time, we're going to get back to it. Are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here we go. Who won the American League Cy Young Award last season?
Tarek School.
Where did Jim Costa go on vacation last week?
The islands. Canary? No. Pass.
This city hosts the NFL Combine.
Indianapolis.
This NHL player is 13 goals away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time record. What is the state capital of Massachusetts?
Pass.
Central Michigan's main campus is located in this city.
Mount Pleasant.
Who is the owner of the Atlanta Falcons?
Pass.
Alex Bregman signed with this team earlier this month.
Red Sox.
Ryan Reynolds is married to this actress.
Blake Lively.
What is the nickname of Ohio Stadium?
Horseshoe.
Where did Jim Costa go on vacation last week?
Ah, dang it. Some islands. Wasn't the Virgin Islands.
What is the state capital of Massachusetts?
Boston.
Who is the owner of the Atlanta Falcons?
It's like Bruno?
Oh, we got you with eight.
Hey.
Eight.
Well
yeah.
done. Sorry, you're going to have to go into work today.
Nah, let's not.
You were close.
Really well done. You were quick. You knew your stuff. 8 out of 10. We can go through it. Do you know which, if you know the one you missed?
Yeah.
Do you know the other one?
I'm guessing Massachusetts, whatever you were, you went vacation in Atlanta Falcons.
Over. Yeah. Well, you ended up getting the capital of Massachusetts. That was Boston.
Boston, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think
yeah.
it was Boston.
Awesome. Yeah. So. We'll go through this, but we'll also put you on hold and get you paid. That's $200. Not bad.
That's a good start to a day.
Nice. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for playing.
Yeah. All right. Let's go through it. AL Cy Young winner was?
Tarek Skubal.
Which islands did I go to?
The Canary Islands would have been awesome. But the Cayman Islands.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you still on Virgin Island? All right, seriously, though, there was a misstep there that would have created some serious controversy, Heather.
What did I do?
He gave a wrong answer, and you asked the question again.
He said
Canary.
I know, and I knew it in my head, and I was glad he didn't get it the second time.
Yeah, thank you.
I did. I marked it, and then my eyes just went to my mark, and I read it again, and I knew he said
generous.
Canary. No, I know.
Indy is the site of the combine. Ovechkin is 13 goals away. He got that out before he even finished the question.
Yes.
Boston is the state capital of Massachusetts. Central Michigan's main campus is in Mount Pleasant.
Fire up chips.
There you go. Owner of the Atlanta Falcons. He didn't get this one.
That'd be Arthur Blank.
Yep.
Now, I thought of something here. This might be a technicality, too. Does pass qualify as blank? You see what I'm saying?
He left it blank.
Yes.
Pass. No more answer should be blank anymore, just in case somebody tries to call us on.
Bregman with the Red Sox. Ryan Reynolds married to Blake Lively. They've been in the news lately.
Mm-hmm.
And the horseshoe.
Yes. Tuesday's Two Grand Slam is brought to you by Femininial Law. We appreciate Micah playing. It was a nice start to the week.
Micah in Ann Arbor wins $200. Your next chance Thursday, 7:25. It's 97.1. Hold them up. Fingers high. 7 in a row for the Pistons. This is something right now, huh? Jalen Duren held up 7 fingers after the game. Pistons win back-to-back with travel involved. That's tough in the NBA, and they won a tough game. After playing more of an up-and-down track meet the night before, they had to slug it out with a more rugged game against the Clippers. And, John, they keep winning. And we keep talking about them, and I don't know if anybody cares, but I think this week sets up some big moments for the Pistons to see just how good are they.
There will be more people that care Friday morning, or Thursday morning, if they beat Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Again, on Saturday morning, if they beat Denver. There'll be more people that care this weekend if they're able to split and go 1-1.
Where is their ceiling? I ask this about a team that only won 14 games a year ago, brought in a new coach, a new president of basketball ops. John, they're at 32 wins. They're still fighting for seeding more than they are getting in the playoffs. What's the ceiling?
In terms of their seed?
No, like the end result of this season. What's the best case scenario for this Pistons team? They keep shattering expectations.
Well, some of it's going to depend on where they end up being seeded. Is it going to be 6? Is it going to be 5, 4, whatever it is? And because I think if they get the Knicks in a series to start off the playoffs, I think their ceiling is winning in the first round. I don't think there's any way that they face Boston or Cleveland and get an opportunity to, you know, to win that series. I just don't think they can win that many games against those opponents right now.
So they haven't beat Boston all year.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland's been a pain in the ass too. I think even the Pacers, they're only 1-3 against.
Right.
If they played the Knicks, I think I'd pick them to win the series right now. Detroit's 21-9 the last 30 games. That's a 70% clip for about 2 months of basketball. 18-8 since the new year started, and that's without Jaden Ivey. And they keep getting better. Cade keeps getting better, and he's bringing everybody with him. Like, that's the true mark of a lead guard. You're bringing everybody with you. You're getting your shooters involved. The alley-oops to Durant are basically layups at this point. His shot's falling. He's diving for loose balls. He's leading. And I feel like they still have another gear. I think the ceiling is they win a playoff series. It would be matchup dependent, but I think they can make some noise.
Some of it depends on you know, your individual takes as to what you think, how good do you think they are? Because in this, you know, winning streak that they've had, 8 games, they've beaten Philly, Charlotte, Chicago twice, San Antonio, Atlanta, and now LA. LA was a good win. But the other ones, you're kind of like, yeah, they should win those, especially if they're playing them at home. Now, 4 of those were on the road. But what are they going to be against a team like Boston?
In a playoff series where it gets ramped up, I don't know. In a regular season game, they got a shot on Wednesday night, right?
Oh, sure they got a shot on Wednesday night. They got a shot on Friday night. And part of it is just simply because both those games are at home. And we saw the difference in just matching up with Cleveland. In the loss that they had at Cleveland, it was a 19-point loss. Not really in that game for much of the game. At home on February 5th, they lost. They were down by they lost by 3, and it's Cade being able to play at home. Mm-hmm. He's good anywhere, but it's 38 at home against them, and it's 22 on the road against Cleveland. Like there is a marked difference.
Yeah, I don't expect them to beat Boston or Denver this week. I don't. But it would take this thing to another level if they did. I think it's currently constructed. They're a playoff team, and I think they're a team that can win a playoff game or two. And in the right series, I think they can win a playoff series. The ceiling for me is the Pistons win a playoff series. We want to know what you guys are thinking, though.
I think there's a feeling right now that the Pistons are somewhat of it's a cute story, right? It's Cade becoming a star, and he's getting better. He's finally got his support around him. He's got a competent coach that wants to be here. But and people are starting to take notice. Obviously, he was an all-star. I think it's also kind of a cute story around the NBA circles that the Pistons are so much better than they have been over the past almost decade, but especially the last couple of years. But I don't know that anybody is really taking notice until they're able to beat a team like Boston or Denver. Then all of a sudden, they're going to jump to the forefront. People will be talking about the Pistons, what they are, and the turnaround that they've had.
You know who Field Yates is? He's a football guy, ESPN. Yep. He tweeted last night, and I don't think of him at all as a basketball guy. I don't think he has any connection to Detroit. He tweets last night, the Pistons are one of the best stories in all of sports right now. Finished last season with the worst record in basketball, now 7 straight wins for the first time in a decade. They've got a shot at home court advantage, pumped for the fans. I don't believe he has any connection. So you talk about starting to show up on other people's radars. Listen, we fight that battle on this show with trying to get people to realize what's going on with this basketball team. People are taking notice outside of the Motor City.
They are. And they really need one of these wins. Not just, they don't need either of these wins to be, you know, to remain in that 6th spot. They're starting to create a nice cushion between them and number 7, whoever that ends up being. But I do think in terms of the respect that they're getting around the NBA, People are starting to take notice. But if you want them, to stand at attention, you go out there and you beat Boston or you beat Denver.
Yeah, I noticed that you're talking about getting more attention and love. I actually watched a little bit of the 6 o'clock Sports Center last night on ESPN. They always have those betting guys come in and say what's their favorite plays, and they were all over the Pistons last night, saying that they're undervalued, that the spread should be bigger in this, because it was like 1.5 or something like that. And I think people are starting to catch on here a little bit locally. I think last night was a great spot with the Wings not playing, and that Michigan basketball game was horrendous. I chose the Pistons over it. I was going in and out of the house with the kids stuff, and so I watched early and I watched late, listened in the middle, and I turned on the Michigan basketball game at one point just to see what the score was on the radio, and I'm like, I am not watching this when I go home because I already knew where it was headed. I mean, Michigan is, I'm not going to get off topic, but anyways.
They couldn't shoot.
Yeah. Like what Cade is doing is just.
Can I put a number on what Cade's doing? Since the All-Star game, where you're kind of rubbing elbows with some of the greats. Cade in the three games post-All-Star, 31 points per game, 10 assists per game, nearly 6 rebounds per game. He's shooting 54% from three. He's been unconscious from deep. He's got 2 steals a game and a block a game. I mean, he took that and he's springboarded even from that All-Star appearance.
Here's something that was brought up on Twitch. Now, this is unlikely to happen for a number of different reasons, but if they were to get 2 wins, they beat Boston at home.
Yeah.
They beat Denver at home.
Yeah.
That puts them at 10 game win streak. They'd be 4 away for just a single win streak this year to match their total win streak next year. It was brought up on Twitch. It's not my, but I mean, that's where this team is. We're talking about an 8-game win streak that hasn't happened in a decade.
So the last, someone posted this last night, and I, again, fact check, whatever. It made sense to me. The last time the Pistons had a streak longer than this current 7-game win streak was 2008. When they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, they won 10 in a row that season.
That means a playoff win's coming, right?
Well, yeah, they haven't won a playoff game since 2009. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
I know ceiling here in terms of, like, for me, I don't think they can get to the 4. I would expect the Bucks to kind of push a button here a little bit. Mm-hmm. And maybe the Bucks even get up to contending with the Knicks for the 3. But I do think that competing with the Pacers for the 5, I mean, look, their schedule, Pistons, is relatively in the middle of area. They've got some tough spots here. They play OKC twice, still. They close twice with the Bucks. They also get the Wizards back to back. So
248-539-9797. Laz in Detroit. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Jim?
Hey, what's going on, guy?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, as far as like people talking about the Pistons, Bill Simmons on his podcast with Russillo on Sunday, hyping up the Pistons a lot. But the other thing I wanted to say is playoff matchups. I think we already got to start looking towards playoff matchups. Giannis has been a problem for the Pistons for like 8 years now. I don't love that Milwaukee matchup. The Pacers, they are 1-3 against them, but the way that Durant has been playing on defense makes me a little bit more confident. They lost those matchups in particular because Miles Turner's killed them from 3. They had a lot of trouble against stretch bigs. The Knicks, like, not only do I think the Knicks are like a good matchup for them in the playoffs, I think taking Knicks, winning the series, taking the Knicks to 6-7 games, like, that puts you on the map with the NBA media in a way that, you know, beating the Pacers doesn't, right? For whatever reason, even though I don't think the Knicks are actually that good this year, you know, playing against the Knicks just puts you on the map, right?
Oh, right, sure. You get a series win against the New York team. Yeah.
I mean, he likes to slobber all over the Knicks. So the idea that if you could beat them in a 7-game series, yeah, you'd make some noise. I think the Pacers series would get incredibly chippy. I think it would be great theater. I don't think they match up as well as if they get the Knicks.
Do people like to glaze the Knicks, Jim?
They like to glaze the Knicks. Did you hear, who was the broadcaster on the hockey stuff? He used glaze.
Yes.
Oh, what's his name? Ray Ferraro.
Yes.
Yes. He's in with the lingo.
It also came up last week. I don't remember how, but it wasn't Stoney doing it.
Shocker of the century there. 248-539-9797. Talking a little bit about the Pistons. Also want to mix in a John Jansen story. Have you ever done this?
Question. John Jansen question.
Well, there's a story attached to the question. You'll do that next. 97.1.
Hey, your New Year's resolution is to lose weight, and you can get there faster than you think with Ideal You. Go to idealyou.us now and you can lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 40 days. So whether your resolution is to lose 10, 100, or anywhere in between, Ideal You works, and it works fast. I lost 10 pounds in the first 10 days, so it was encouraging. I lost 50 in those 40 days, and I got to eat real whole food, so it was something that I could stick with. It wasn't shakes and bars. Ideal Use weight loss coaches work with you every step of the way, and your coach is going to help you lose weight, obviously, but they're also going to help you keep it off, which is one of the big challenges. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us. Ideal U is a Michigan-based company. They've helped thousands of people just like me and you lose weight. In fact, over 90% of Ideal U customers, that's 9 out of 10 Ideal U customers, lose at least 20 pounds in just 40 days. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us. Sign up now and you're going to get a $200 Visa gift card. Start your new year off right. Lose weight. Get that $200 Visa gift card. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us.
End of the third quarter was where the Pistons really separated. Beat the Clippers last night. That's 7 in a row. Mark Champion on the call. Schroeder on the bucket. Going to get to a John Jansen question here in a second.
Uh-huh.
But some ticket techs, right? We bring up the Pistons. They're winning. What's the ceiling of this team? The buy-in, all that. Texter says, we're finally getting the calls. The Pistons are playing a completely different brand of basketball. Nothing like what you see on any given night in the league. Cade is finally getting calls he wasn't at the start of the season. That's Keith in Dearborn Heights. Starting to earn that star status.
Yeah.
Very impressed with the Pistons of late. This is from Jeff in Petoskey. He says, the improvement in every phase of the game is remarkable. Cade, coaching, defense, play in the paint, fast break, the team plays together, and they genuinely seem like family.
I think that's a great point, too, where it's... Obviously, we've watched the development of Cade, and he's playing a high level of basketball. He's going to be all NBA. The argument is going to be, where does he fall in that top 15? But the defense that they're playing with, that's, to me, under the radar, been the biggest change.
Asar Thompson's chase down block last night. He is a guy who is built for the playoffs. That type of basketball where you're all over the floor, hands in the passing lanes, aggressive defense. Look, he's not a guy scoring 20 a night, but he's a guy who plays winning basketball. And I think that's going to show up when they get in the playoffs. Ticket Texter says, where's that guy we used to call Cale Cunningham? He's completely turned his game around.
Is he eating meat again?
The Pistons don't have a shot against teams like the Cavs or the Celtics, but I do think they have the highest ceiling of any of the second-tier teams in the Eastern Conference. That's an unnamed Texter. Yeah, if they go 7 with Boston or Cleveland, they're not winning. But 7 with the Knicks, I like their chances. 7 sure. With the Pacers, hey, make some noise, see what happens. 7 with Milwaukee, I think I'd give the edge to Milwaukee. But the ceiling for this team is probably winning a playoff series, which is crazy given they only won 14 games a season ago.
Yeah, and I think the best measuring stick is how do they play against Boston. Yep. But I think Denver is a game that they could win.
I might actually try to score some tickets to take my client, sign Jack and Coke Jerry.
Oh, wow. Making the flip to basketball.
Lions bandwagon fans right, making their way over.
Don't they still have that that special seating area in one of the back of one of the hoops where they got the bar top tables?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I thought you were going to talk about those special places right underneath or right behind the seating. By the floor. Do you know about those at LCA?
Yeah.
No. I was just down there on Sunday, and we went on a tour through there with all the affiliates, and they've got these lounges and stuff. I thought you did one of the shows there once, but
not. I thought you were talking something that was out.
That's like Jack
in
and
the
Coke
public
territory. Yeah. Jack and Coke Jerry territory.
Yeah.
Jerry territory. That's hard to say.
Yeah, yeah. Say it 5 times fast.
Jack and Coke Jerry territory.
Bring the Knicks on, by the way. That would be a put on the map Cade for anybody that doesn't realize how good he is. It'd be very similar to what Trae Young did like a few years ago when they took on the Knicks and he kind of got put on the map. But there would also be, you know, a little bit of a reminder, you know, everything kind of went south for the Hawks, that you got to build around your star the right way.
That's a good reminder. Cade's played well at the Garden this season. I think he had a triple-double, and he had like a 36-point game, two different games in New York this year. Yeah, I think he would thrive in that spotlight. All right, John, you have something to ask the audience?
Yeah. I have a question I want to ask, yes, because as everyone knows, I have kids. And it's one of those situations where you go out to dinner. We found this great new pizza place. I love their appetizers, love their pizza, love their entire menu. It's been a great find for us, and they've got something for everyone. we found something out the other night when we went there where, okay, we ordered our appetizers, we ordered our pizza, and Lisa and I were sharing a pizza. We just ordered a small one because we weren't overly hungry. It was a little bit of an early dinner because Ellie had a softball game. And we ordered Teddy off the kids' menu, which we do, right? He's three. And we're sometimes we don't order off the kids' menu for him because he has a bigger appetite than most three-year-olds.
He's a big boy.
He's bigger than most three-year-olds. He's bigger than a lot of six-year-olds. Anyway, when the pizza came for Lisa and I, we both looked at it. We're like, oh, this is perfect. When the pizza came for Teddy, it was almost the exact same size. So when you order a small, we ordered a small pizza. A lot of times they'll come in, it's like a personal pizza, right? And it's not shareable, especially off the kids' meal. This was a legitimate pizza. Four slices, good-sized pizza. It was a tiny bit smaller than the one that we had ordered. And we both looked at each other. We're like, we should have just ordered that.
Off the kids' menu.
Off the kids' menu. We didn't. And I don't know if I could ever bring myself to do it, but is it out of line, or have you ever, as an adult, ordered off the kids' menu?
I have, but not in person. Like, if I go to eat at a restaurant, sit at the table, I'm not ordering off the kids' menu. But to go, when they don't know who it's actually going to, I have.
Oh,
but
so
it's
in person,
rare.
It's out of line.
For me, it is. I would feel uncomfortable, especially when it says 12 and under. And I'm like, can I order the, you know, mac and cheese, whatever it is. I don't feel comfortable with that. But if they don't know where it's going.
Yeah, then you order.
But it's usually small things, too. Like, I drink a lot of smoothies. And
you just want a tiny one.
Sometimes they're like, I don't even finish the huge adult smoothie, so I order the kids one. It's like half size, and I order that a lot. Or I eat a lot of salmon. And Emily loves salmon. So now it's not enough for me to order like one adult portion and share with her because she ends up eating all of it. And then I mend with like a couple bites. I was like, that sucks. But so I order her kids salmon. And it's basically the exact same filet as the piece I just paid $22 or more dollars for. So when we order out, I'll order a kid's salmon. Uh-huh. It doesn't come with all the sides.
Right.
But
a lot of times don't eat the sides. Yeah.
I don't even eat the sides.
Yeah.
I wish she would have ordered off the kids' menu. Because I could picture big John Jansen ordering off the kids' menu.
Well, everybody knows that I love my food. And there are days where you just put the feed bag on and you go after it. There are other days where you're just not as hungry. And one of the things I've learned in the whole weight loss journey that I've been on, it's all about portions, right? And if you're not hungry, then you don't need to eat. Or you just eat until you're actually full instead of eating everything that's on your plate. Like, you don't always have to be a member of the Clean Plate Club.
So restaurant portions, depending on the place, can be pretty big.
Yeah.
I have no issue if you want to order off the kids' menu in person.
Have you done it?
I haven't. I wouldn't have an issue with it, though. I'm getting a kid's portion and I'm paying a kid's price. That's all this is, right?
Well,
why should it be excluded? I know I'm getting less.
There are a lot of restaurants, and I think this one is one of those where they encourage families to come. And part of that is, the portion's going to be a little bit smaller, but they drop the price so that it's accessible to families, especially if you have multiple kids, not just one. And so when you look at it and you say, well, would I want to, eat this size pizza, but am I taking advantage of the good nature of this restaurant?
But I think you're just paying for what it costs, right? So you're getting less pizza. It costs less money. I'm willing to pay that price for that portion. I don't think you should be turned away if you want to order a kid.
And sometimes on a menu, right, it'll say, for the little tykes or, but it won't actually say 12 and under. If there's an age, I think I don't think you should order. If it says 12 and under or if it says 8 and under, I think you should just respect the restaurant and not order off the kids' menu.
We have some ticket texts flooding in. We want to get some phone calls. 248-539-9797. John, your question was?
Can you order off the kids' menu as an adult?
It's 97.1.